Our Lady, speaking in 1973 in Akita, in Japan, to a Japanese religious sister, Sister Agnes Sasagawa, Our Lady spoke of a deluge of fire. This is not some harebrained apparition. It's an intervention of heaven which we are meant to pay attention to. Our Lady does not come down, take the trouble of coming down and talking to us in order for the benefit of the dogs or the pigs. The bishop who is competent in such an affair, the local bishop, examined the whole affair, like the Bishop of Lourdes examined the affair, like the Bishop of La Salette examined the affair, and after due and careful examination, the local bishop, who is competent precisely because he's on the spot, he can examine locally, he knows the local people, he can make a proper judgment. Rome can't judge things happening all over the time, perhaps frequently all over the world, but the local bishop is the one who, according to the Catholic Church, is competent. The bishop in Japan examined the affair carefully. The three messages, spoken messages, the Mother of God did not actually appear. She spoke, only spoke. In other words, the three locutions, not apparitions, took place in 1973. In July, August, and October 13th of 1973, and the local bishop examined all of the circumstances, and at the end he said, Catholics may believe that this is from heaven. When a Catholic, when a bishop, a Catholic bishop examines some such intervention of heaven, or alleged intervention of heaven, he does not say at the end, this is a dogma of the faith which every Catholic must believe, but after examining it carefully, he says, Catholics may believe this, it is worthy of belief. You don't have to believe. No one need believe. But nevertheless, like at Lourdes and La Salette and Fatima, if Our Lady took the trouble, she had a purpose in taking the trouble, and she did not mean everybody to ignore her. October 13th, 1973. Notice the day of Fatima. The day, October 13th, of the great miracle of the sun in 1917, 56 years beforehand. My dear daughter, listen well to what I have to say to you. You will inform your superior. After a brief silence, it was a sweet lady's voice, a uniquely sweet feminine voice, not a rough masculine voice. As I told you, if men do 1973, in the aftermath of the Second Vatican Council, when in 1960 the churchmen have buried the third secret of Fatima, which Our Lady wished to be revealed at the latest in 1960. The churchmen, according to all indications, buried the third secret of Fatima because Our Lady spoke against the nonsense that they were about to get up to. And what was the nonsense? The destruction of the Catholic Church that they were about to wreak with their plotted and planned council. If that message had been revealed in 1960, no one knows yet exactly with certainty, or only very few people know with certainty what that message contains, but if that message had been contained, revealed to the whole Catholic world, as the whole Catholic world was expecting and waiting for in 1960, if possible the council would have been averted because the churchmen could not have got away with their criminal destruction of the Catholic Church. The world still awaits the revelation of the third secret of Fatima. The churchmen still have it pushed away in a drawer, apparently with the key lost. Well, that's their story. But interestingly, when Bishop John Shiro Ito, the Japanese Bishop of Akita, went to visit Cardinal Ratzinger, he was then Cardinal, in Rome in 1980, maybe, 1979, 1980. The three locutions were only of 1973, but then from 1975 to 1981, in the very convent where she had spoken, the wooden statue of Our Lady wept 101 times within 1975 and 1981. In 1982, after consulting the cardinal in Rome, Bishop John Shiro Ito said, this is believable, the Catholics may believe this comes from heaven. In any case, when Cardinal Ratzinger looked at all the evidence, all the details, all the facts, all the dossier of Akita as Bishop John Shiro Ito presented it to him, Apparently, Cardinal Ratzinger told the Philippine ambassador to the Vatican, he told, Fatima and Akita are the same thing. Father Paul Kramer reasonably argues there is nothing in what we know of Fatima to compare with this third secret of Akita, which I'm about to read to you. Father Paul Kramer reasonably concludes this third secret of Fatima, the third message of Fatima, corresponds essentially in its content to the third secret of Fatima. It's a perfectly reasonable deduction if that's what Cardinal Ratzinger said, Fatima and Akita are the same thing. Because, of course, Cardinal Ratzinger had already read the third secret of Fatima, personally. And he's made a few remarks about it, a few interesting and revealing remarks about what he saw. And it's certainly not. It's certainly not. The message awaited, the secret awaited in 1960 is certainly not the same as the vision, quote-unquote, revealed in 2000 by the Vatican with the intention of burying Fatima once and for all. The churchmen lied when they pretended very skillfully that they had revealed everything that there was to reveal about Fatima. The words they use are very skillfully chosen to disguise, and there's never, perhaps, if you try looking at it carefully, there's perhaps never a direct lie. But the suggestion was very clear. And every one of us was meant to understand, and many of us understood what we were meant to understand, that with what they revealed in 2000, they had revealed what was awaited in 1960. If it wasn't telling an untruth, it was certainly suggesting an untruth. The third secret of Fatima is absolutely not what was revealed. The third secret of Fatima is words of Our Lady. What was revealed in 2000 was a vision, not words of Our Lady, for instance. And there are plenty of other arguments which Paul Kramer, which Father Gruner brought out at the time, and which an Italian journalist, interestingly, picked up on recently, Antonio Socci, in Il Quarto Secreto di Fatima, The Fourth Secret of Fatima, a book which created a considerable stir in Rome, and once again the Vatican system, to put it kindly, got back into high gear and rolled out in order to crush the truth. But the truth will out. How does Hamlet put it? Can somebody quote? It's in Hamlet.
All deeds will rise, though all bitter and all well that we condemn time.
Well done. Foul deeds will rise. Hamlet is speaking about his uncle's misdeeds. Foul deeds will rise, though all the world overwhelm them to men's eyes. Bravo. That is exactly what's happening. It's going to go on happening. What I'm going to read corresponds, there's reasonable argument, this corresponds substantially to the third secret of Fatima. Fasten your seatbelts. If you've not heard the third message of Fatima, of Akita, fasten your seatbelts. As I told you, if men do not repent and better themselves, the Father will inflict a terrible punishment on all humanity. It will be a punishment greater than the deluge in the time of Noah, such as one will have never seen before. Fire will fall from the sky and will wipe out a great part of humanity, the good as well as the bad, sparing neither priests nor faithful. The survivors will find themselves so desolate that they will envy the dead. The only weapons which will remain for you will be the rosary and the sign left by my son. We don't know what that sign is. Each day recite the prayers of the rosary. With the rosary pray for the Pope, the bishops and priests. Our Lady does not say pray for the appearance Pope or the doubtful Pope or the non-Pope. She says, pray for, in 1973, she says, pray for the Pope, the bishops and priests. Because that's the most, that's where the real problem lies. If the churchmen were still on their feet, if the churchmen were still Catholic, that the salt, the earth would still have its salt, and the world would still have its light. You are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth. Without salt, salt was the equivalent of refrigerators before refrigerators were invented. Salt prevented the corruption of meat. Without salt you have corruption, and without light you have darkness. Darkness in the mind and corruption in morals. The Catholic Church is the light of minds and the anti-corruption of morals. And when the Catholic churchmen fall down, you have the opposite of light and you have the opposite of morals. And that's exactly what we've had today, galloping corruption. Galloping darkness and galloping corruption. And that's why it already says, with the rosary, pray for the Pope, the bishops and priests. That's perhaps the most important thing I will say all of tonight. Even if I was to speak until midnight, which is quite possible. I continue. The work of the devil will infiltrate even into the church in such a way that one will see cardinals opposing cardinals, bishops against bishops. The priests who venerate me will be scorned and opposed by their colleagues. Churches and altars will be sacked. The church will be full of those who accept compromises, and the devil will press many priests and consecrated souls to leave the service of the Lord. The devil will be especially implacable against souls consecrated to God. The thought of the loss of so many souls is the cause of my sadness. Sister Agnes has seen an especially sad expression on the face of the statue of Our Lady in the convent. Statues, as you very well know, down all the history of the church, have been able to take on an expression or even move. By a miracle of God, it's perfectly possible that this statue showed an expression of special sadness which struck the sister, just like you may remember Our Lady wept at La Salette. Finally, she says, if sins increase in number and gravity, there will be no longer pardon for them. Meaning, not of course that God ceases to be merciful, not of course that God cannot forgive sins, not of course that any Catholic priest, valid priest, can at any time validly absolve sins, but that, as we observe in many a modern city today, there are fewer and fewer, if any, priests ready to hear confessions, or more and more difficult to find. That must be the reason why she says, if sins increase in number and gravity, there will be no longer pardon for them. A grave, grave message. 1973. If men do not repent and better themselves, do you or I think that since 1973 mankind has repented or bettered itself? Then the Father is going to inflict, especially if mankind continues on its present route, and there's every indication of that, the Father will inflict a terrible punishment on all mankind. It's not going to be just the Third World War. I would say that another quotation from Shakespeare, as Henry IV is dying, he says to his son Henry V, he gives him the advice, if you've got too much trouble, this is not what the language of Shakespeare, if you've got too much trouble in England, then busy, giddy minds with foreign wars. The temptation for President Bush and the American government, if this economic situation gets out of hand, which it looks like doing, the grave temptation will be at last to attack Iran. 9/11, without 9/11, it would have been impossible to attack in Afghanistan or Iraq. The forces inside the United States government and driving the United States government absolutely wanted to attack and destroy Iraq, which is what has happened. The destruction wrought upon Iraq is unspeakable. And now the same forces want to do the same thing to Iran. American public opinion is turning, am I right, against the war in Iraq. It has turned against the war in Iraq. The American soldiers don't know why they're there. They don't like being there. It doesn't make sense they're being there. This is what the soldiers themselves apparently is saying they're very demoralized and gravely, the American military has been gravely weakened by this, dare I say, opinion, only an opinion, absurd and delinquent expedition to Iraq. Opinion. Don't worry. It's only an opinion, and I'm not speaking as a bishop when I give such an opinion. This is not a, it's not necessarily a Catholic opinion. But in any case, if the American public opinion could only be moved by 9/11 to attack Iraq, without, can you imagine Iraq being attacked without 9/11? 9/11 was an immense fraud. Then what's the war in Iraq? Now they want to attack Iran. They would love something, they may well be planning and plotting another 9/11. If it's correct that 9/11 was a fraud, they could easily be planning and plotting another such. God knows. You and I don't know. But it may not need a 9/11. If the economic situation gets out of hand, then that will then the, it may be the moment in which the busy, giddy minds with foreign wars. And the attack on Iran will take everybody's mind off the problems in land. That's Henry IV was an English king speaking to his English son. It was classic political advice in anywhere in the world. It's not just the United States. Please. It's not in any way an attack on the United States. And so it's just the modern world. The attack is on the modern world and on the need of our religion as the only possible answer to these enormously grave problems of humanity in the mess in which it's, into which it's got itself. Then here's Our Lady, this is where we are, this is where she says we were, this is where she believably, for Catholics believably says, she said we were in 1973, how much more in 2007, 34 years on. How did we get to this? And here we come to apocalypse or pre-apocalypse. Pre-apocalypse or apocalypse.